Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to feature my recent conversation with Allison Williams. Allison is a Darden alum. She graduated in our Executive MBA class of 2015, and she currently works for the Governor of Arkansas as his Chief of Staff. We recently caught up via Zoom to talk a little bit more about Allison's background, what led her to Darden, why she thinks an MBA is valuable for people who work in the policy area, and much, much more. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Allison Williams. Allison, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much, Brett. I'm so excited to be here, and it's great to hear your voice again.
Absolutely. It's been way too long. I will say, you may not remember this, but right before I actually became an official Darden employee, I went to an admissions reception at the Ritz-Carlton in Tyson's Corner, and you were actually the first Executive MBA alum I met. You may not believe that, but it is 100% true.
I'm not sure I believe it, but I remember meeting you. I do remember that event, and I remember meeting you, and I was just so excited to meet someone else new into the Darden family, and so look at you now.
I know. I've been now 5 years have passed, if not a little bit more than that. Oh, my gosh. We're now, there's so much that's transpired. We're now based in the Washington, D.C. area. We've got the space in Roslyn, all these kinds of things. But
yeah,
we have you here on the podcast to talk about your background and your experience at Darden. So let's get into it. So for our listeners at home tuning in, listening to the podcast, what's your background personally, professionally?
So I thought about this question in terms of the most defining pieces of both of those. So for me personally, the most defining characteristic of my background is that I grew up as a military brat and in a very stable household. My parents just retired. They've been married for several decades. And so what offset that stability was that we moved around a lot. So I have that balance in my life. But it also means that I'm a pretty patriotic and pretty committed to public service. And that came through in my professional background. My most defining characteristic there is that I have been very close to my current boss, Governor Asa Hutchinson, have been in and out of his orbit for about the last 20 years. And there was a moment after we'd worked together for a few years where I sort of thought, well, I'm interested in paving my own way and really finding out if anyone else would hire me because I had been working with the same person for so long. And so I pursued some additional public service in the federal space and did some consulting. After the MBA program, I almost bought a company with a classmate. So we'll come back to that maybe in a future question. And I still think about that, still think about being the CEO of my own company and just haven't quite figured out yet what that's going to be.
Wow. I do want to ask about that company acquisition or almost company acquisition. But before we get there, had you thought about an MBA for a long time? Was it a relatively new thought at the time when you decided to go to Darden? Tell me a little bit more about what got you interested in pursuing an MBA.
So unlike many MBA folks that pursue MBAs, I did not have a business degree in my undergraduate degree. So I graduated with degrees in political science and German. And so I always knew that I wanted a higher degree, but I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to get that degree in, except that I knew that I did not want to do a law degree. I had done enough pre-law classes in my political science program that I just knew that wasn't the direction I wanted to go. And so I was maybe a little bit on the older side when I pursued the Executive MBA program. I think the average age of our class was around 29 maybe, and I was in my mid-30s by that point. And for me, it was really about what has served me well in my life is always being open to opportunities and building out a network and then waiting for an obvious choice to reveal itself. And so the way I chose an MBA, I was talking with a friend of mine. She was, we were celebrating her 30th birthday together, and she was so excited. She had just gotten into this excellent MBA program at Darden. And I thought, MBA, that's cool. That's like not what people would expect. That's going to set me a little apart from other folks who are in policy positions or political positions. And so I started pursuing that. But I had actually looked at other things, MPPs, MPAs, and it just didn't feel right. And when she talked about the MBA program, and then of course when I went to Darden, it was really a perfect fit.
It's interesting that you mentioned the differentiation point. That has come up a few times as we've talked with people here on the podcast who work in politics or in policy roles, that they do feel like a lot of the other folks have MPPs, MPAs, law degrees, and an MBA becomes a way of differentiating yourself. It also gives you a different toolkit and potentially the opportunity to speak between and sort of serve as a liaison between business folks and policy people, a different perspective.
Yeah, I think that's totally right. And having waited so long, relatively speaking, to pursue a graduate degree, I felt like doing an MPP or an MPA, and no disrespect to either of those degree programs anywhere, but I felt that I would be basically learning what I was already doing. And I didn't feel like there wasn't going to be a lot of learning there. And I felt like with an MBA, I was really going to be pushing myself to learn something new. And that was exciting to me.
How did you feel about pursuing an MBA, given your background in poli sci and what people might consider a so-called non-traditional background?
Oh, gosh. To say mortified would be an understatement. The classes at my classmates in my class at Darden in particular, but just at Darden writ large, are just so impressive. I'm constantly just celebrating the successes of my classmates and other Darden alum. And so it was very scary to walk in into the program and in my mind, it was just going to be very like hard numbers and finance and investment and accounting. And these are not things that I was particularly interested in or strong in. But I do think that's one of the real benefits of the Darden's focus on general management, that it became very clear very quickly that there were skill sets that I could bring to the table that were as valuable to the conversations as someone who could calculate the NPV of something.
That's right. And the classroom gives space for that, right? The case method.
It does.
And everybody can bring a perspective. And that's really the richness of the Darden learning experience. I'm wondering what led you to Darden, having that personal connection, knowing someone who was sort of proceeding down that path, I imagine, helped. But what ultimately about Darden resonated with you?
Well, there's some core things. Certainly, I'd heard about the alumni network. The reputation of Darden is stellar. And so those were things that gave me confidence to pursue additional engagement with the school. The thing that really set me over the edge, and in fact was the only thing that, and I say that in a good way, the thing that I only applied to one program, and that was to Darden. And it was because in my previous iterations of looking for master's programs, graduate programs, I had gone to other very highly ranked institutions for different degree programs, did their open houses. But what I found at Darden was that open house experience was very comfortable. I felt very comfortable. And to your point, the case method allows people to speak up and offer their insights beyond just what might be written on paper or in a textbook. And so what brought me to Darden truly was that open house experience that I had, where a lot of smart people in the room saying really interesting things, and just how it had differed from, I'm not quite sure how to describe it, maybe just a bit more like competitive structured environment, or like kind of traditionally competitive environment. Darden's very competitive, but it also felt very collegial in that competition.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of bright people and with different ways of looking at things. But ultimately, at the end of the day, your relationships with your classmates matter, right? People are not in this kind of transactional mode where I'm just here to get education and move on. There's an investment both during the program and afterwards. So let's talk a little bit about life after Darden. What have you been doing since you graduated?
Well, I finished up. I was working for a consulting firm in Homeland Security Consulting. I was working for a firm in Washington. And by that point, when I graduated, and by that point, my boss had run for governor of Arkansas and won. He'd been elected about 6 months before graduation. And we had been talking off and on for several months before that. And I said, essentially, I've met other bosses. They're great, but like, you're really amazing. And if you get elected, I want to come back to work with you in some capacity. And so that panned out. So it goes back to my idea of like just being ready for opportunities. And when the obvious choice presents itself, you're ready for, I'm ready for it. And so I graduated from Darden and started working for Governor Hutchinson in his Washington, D.C. office. So you may be aware that several governors have staff in Washington, D.C. to facilitate the communication and relationships with, for example, their federal delegation and with federal agencies and with the White House. And so I filled that role for about a year and happened to come back for a fiscal session. So Arkansas has a biennial legislative session, and in the off years, we have a balanced budget amendment. So we have a fiscal session to essentially rebalance the budget and make sure that if we have surplus or we have deficits, that we know how we need to adjust that. So I came back and worked on the fiscal session, which was about, 5 or 6 weeks, and intended to go back home to Washington, D.C. and resume my old job. And it just so happened that his first chief of staff resigned the last week that I was in Little Rock. And I don't know if it was a target of opportunity or I had just reminded my boss how well we worked together. But he offered me the position of chief of staff and I took it. And so this goes back to the company that I was thinking about buying. Had to make a really tough decision about whether to continue to pursue a company and in a totally different arena of industry, or really expand what I felt was going to be a much deeper experience and use of my Darden degree, the general management frameworks that I had learned and coming into chief of staff for a governor of a state.
So many of our listeners may not know what it means to be, or exactly what it means to be chief of staff for a governor. What do your days and weeks look like?
Well, what I tell anyone who asks that question, or especially young folks, like high school and college kids who say, what does it take to become a chief of staff? There's two things I always say. One, it's never a given. There's no degree that you get for chief of staff or certificate you get for chief of staff. And so it is really based on the relationship to the principal. And we're starting to see chiefs of staff in the private sector a bit more, but it is a very government sort of focused position. So to your question, my days are actually with technology. I'm not in the office any longer than say 8 to 5, but I'm constantly available to my boss or to secretaries of cabinet agencies, to my staff. And then of course we always have media who have interest in talking with him. So we have a staff of about 50 people, and we're actually rather large for a governor's office. And I liken that, or I say that's because Governor Hutchinson is a very high touch governor. He wants the constituents to have pretty easy access to get to him and to be heard. And so we spend a lot of time really paying attention to what the legislature is saying, paying attention to what associations are saying, and then making sure that policies are developed based on that, on what we hear. Maybe not always making everyone happy, but certainly acknowledging that there may be a difference of opinion. And it has definitely been different under the current pandemic and COVID. Just crisis management is a whole different animal on any crisis, but these long-term crises like this, there's a lot in my governor, in my boss's background, and then in my background, and having been around when Homeland Security started, that I think really tailored him well to be the governor of a state with a pandemic of this proportion, a crisis of this proportion, this longevity.
And I can only imagine in the midst of all of this, as our understanding of COVID has continued to evolve, it's just been constant and continuous.
It has. But I was thinking about this the other day because I had this memory come up where, and this goes back to one of the great things about Darden, is there's such a rich network of individuals and people who are ready to give advice and ready to be helpful. And I got an email from a classmate of mine, Margaret Grundy, who I'm sure you know. So Margaret reached out to me and she said, hey, there's this other Darden alum. He actually remembered you speaking at the opening dinner for their on-grounds experience in his EMBA program. He is working with two other Darden alums on some personal protective equipment sourcing and delivery. And I know that's an issue for every state. So can I put you in touch with him? And so this like strange series of like five people who all have a connection to Darden in an area that the states really needed assistance with just brought into real focus for me the strength of that network. Because I think between the time that she emailed me and the time that I was on an email with the owners of this company was maybe 24 hours. It was very quick.
That's amazing. But you know, it does resonate with a lot of the stories that we've shared here on the podcast about the strength of the network and just the personal nature of it all. You know, Darden is not as large as some other schools, but an incredibly responsive and engaged alumni network. So it's always good to hear these kind of stories. So, you know, it sounds like your MBA experience is with you all the time. I'm curious about what advice you might have for prospective students who work in policy, government, public affairs about the value of an MBA. And I ask this question really because, well, we're now a program that's based in the Washington, D.C. area. We always had people from the policy world, you know, who were looking at Darden, but see a few more of those people these days, as you might imagine, being right there in Roslyn across the river from D.C. What advice might you have, Allison, for those folks?
It's such a great question. And I think goes back to some of what we were talking about earlier. You know, if you have, well, first of all, I think it's important for people always to push themselves out of their normal channels. So if you came out of a policy background or a political science background, again, a JD, an LLM, an MPP, an MPA, these are all hugely useful degrees in the public policy arena. But and I say this because I lived in DC for a long time and I say it with respect, but those positions, those degrees are a dime a dozen everywhere you look in public policy. And so it wasn't exactly a sort of conscious decision at first, but for me, and I would argue for others who, again, want to set themselves apart to differentiate themselves in some way, to have a degree that, a graduate degree that says, you know, I have an interest in kind of enterprise-wide responsibility and I know how to do a number of different things, that an MBA is a differentiator. And it is curious. People will say, oh, I have, you know, you're the first chief of staff I've met, which is, I'm not sure that that's true, but first chief of staff I've met who has an MBA and not a JD. Because I think particularly law degrees are so proliferate in these roles. And I think there's the diversification, which is just in general, I have to find a job after 2.5 years when my boss leaves office. And so I do think that just like any investor would tell you or investment manager would say, diversify your portfolio. I would say diversify your education and your experience so that you can be open to other and new experiences.
That is great advice. And it again resonates with so much of what we've heard here on the podcast generally, just about the MBA creating opportunities and pathways for students. So when you think back about your Darden experience, for you, what has been the impact? It certainly sounds like relationships and connections, but maybe in other ways, how has your Darden experience been impactful for you?
Yeah, the general management foundation that is so critical to particularly the executive MBA program at Darden, there's so many things that I deal with on a day-to-day basis that I probably could have muddled through without an MBA and without a Darden MBA. But when my boss was suggesting to me that I was going to be on the short list for the chief of staff position, without the MBA and without the Darden MBA in particular, the experience that I had at Darden, I do not think, and this is not about imposter syndrome, I do not think I would have been ready. I do not think that I would have been ready to lead people the way I have to lead them now. I would not have been ready to look across an enterprise and say, this connects to this, connects to this, and we have to bring it all together. And so the General Management Foundation, and particularly the executive format, where, you know, in my shorthand, it's, I don't have to know everything there is to know about accounting, but I sure better know how to listen, be told about it, and I sure need to learn how to express myself to the experts, to the technical experts, so that we can get something accomplished. It's not enough to, you know, we, in the political world, we often say trust but verify, and thank you, Reagan. But we, I have a responsibility, and I feel very obligated to make sure that I know what my staff is talking to me about. And so I think the Darden experience really prepared me for that. But the relationships are so key. And one other, the thing that I wanted to bring up on this. So we lost a classmate in the summer of 2018, Jeff Long. Died after a bicycling accident, and he had just been married for about a year to his wife, Kaylee. And so not only did our class come together, obviously, in mourning, but we came together very personally and very action-oriented. And the class raised $140,000 for a scholarship for executive MBA students at Darden. And so that is an absolute impact that Jeff's life made, that our classmates made, and that is tangible to future Darden students. And I'm very proud of that.
And rightfully so. I will say, as somebody who's a little bit more on the periphery of those conversations about the scholarship and the work that your class was doing to raise the money, it was clear people, one, had such admiration for Jeff, that there was a deep relationship there. And we're very passionate about doing something to memorialize him and who he was. And so it's just tremendous to see all of that come together.
Indeed. And we're still, I'm still very close. I was at a wedding for a classmate of mine a year ago, and saw some friends from there, still talk to a classmate. So it's, people are very committed. It doesn't seem, you know, executive programs where you're on grounds for just a short period of time each month and over a 2-year period. But those relationships and that network, I keep coming back to that, but it is, you can't beat it.
I'm glad that you made the point about general management. We, as you might imagine, on the admissions end of things, get a lot of questions about specialization. And I feel like prospective students oftentimes feel like they have to specialize, even at the executive MBA program level. Because, of course, you know, you look around and maybe other schools are emphasizing those points. But the thing we continually say about Darden is that this is about sort of growing as a leader and kind of gaining that enterprise view, which is not ultimately a specialist view. How do you think about that sort of question about being a generalist versus being a specialist?
Well, for me, I would not have succeeded in a program that was specialized. And even the areas where it might have seemed more of a natural fit, say marketing or communication, those are not things that I wanted to be a specialist in. And so for me, the general management focus and the enterprise-wide thinking was what clinched it for me. And, you know, go to the open house, have this great experience, and then realize that, again, I just have to understand the concepts and I have to be able to do some of the work. But the bigger role, and this goes to one of the lessons that we are taught early on in the, it's like an organizational behavior class. I forget exactly the title of it, but that you have to drop tools, right? You can't just, you have to drop your old tools and pick up your new ones. And for me, that was a very important progression, that I did have very specialized experience in external relations and in scheduling and in some communication aspects. But what I really needed in order to progress in my career was a higher perch. And that meant that I had to let go of some of those even emotional tools that said, you have to specialize in order to be relevant to an organization. Because I know, both having been managed and now being a manager, that ability to connect different pieces of the organization and to lead people in a way that makes the organization successful, is not something you learn in finance or accounting. It is something that you learn by having a more diverse set of education and educational tools at your disposal.
These are such great points, and they definitely resonate. And you made a point earlier that we always share with prospective students is that your role is not to be the accountant in the room. Your goal is to understand what the accountant is saying, or the financial person, or the marketer, and to have a perspective and be able to articulate that perspective. I don't think we could have put it better than you did.
Yeah. So. Well, and you have to help people pull out of their own trenches, right? Like, so we have a budget meeting every month. And our budget is not huge, right? We have about $5.5 million that we manage out of the governor's office every year. But for me, I have to be able to also help develop people professionally. So I take very seriously my responsibility, particularly in a political office where nothing is guaranteed beyond this term, that I have to prepare them for their own professional development, their own next steps in their profession. And so being able to say to our budget manager, yeah, that's great. I see the spreadsheet here, but what I want you to do is I want you to help us get to this point. I want us to be able to turn back this amount of money, or I want to be able to spend, you know, X percent of our budget on professional development and classes. And so helping them think beyond just the rote kind of actions that they might go through because they're the budget manager, because they're the accountant, and helping them progress in their career too. And I can't do that if I'm deep in the weeds with them.
Those are great, great points. And it's clear that you have a lot of passion for that work. And we always ask our podcast guests the same sort of last question here. Why Darden? Why should a prospective student consider Darden? I know we touched on these things, but always find it helpful to summarize here at the end.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, if all of the previous answers have not convinced someone out there in the listening world to apply, then the case method we've talked about, so huge. Just there are times that I get into experiences here in my current job where I think back to a specific case where I'm like, this happened. That was a real life experience. And when you're in the case method and you're in the class, it is just a much more richer context for problem solving. I can't say enough about the faculty who were top notch. I know the EMBA program in particular draws a lot of the top talent from the faculty to that. And so great, just mutual respect among the classmates and then also the professors. And so I really appreciated that. I talked about the culture of Darden and how I felt very, very much that it was a cooperative competition, that people were there to help each other, but to push each other to be stronger and better. But I'll tell you, the thing that we haven't talked about, but I think is something that really draws people in, is just really the beauty of Charlottesville. And it was important for me and my program to make that mental disconnect from my day-to-day life. And so traveling from DC to Charlottesville every month was a real treat. And then to just be among the, you know, at the edge of the mountains and have access to great food and a great, beautiful city was a nice additional touch.
Yeah, all executive MBA students get to start and end the program with a week in Charlottesville, even though the DC area is still our base these days. We know how important it is for people to spend some time on the main grounds of the Darden School and the university and to have that opportunity. So, you know, it's still built into the program. And having been around students sort of going through that Charlottesville experience, know how much people enjoy it for sure.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Well, Allison, what a treat to have you here on the podcast. I was so excited.
So
you got back
to
me
to
quickly on LinkedIn. We were able to get this set up. I know how busy you must be. Certainly, I can only imagine. But great to talk with you. And thank you so much for taking time for our listeners.
Likewise, Brett. Thanks so much for reaching out.
And that was my interview with Allison Williams, an alum from our Executive MBA class of 2015. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's EXEC, MBA@darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.